Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Dirt and Sprague on Football Friday on 1080 The Fan.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea with a rollicking song he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously.
This is a Football Friday edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Online at 1080thefan.com and the new 1080 The Fan app.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome in. Hour 2, 101 here on The Fan. Got to Sprague the line today, buddy.
Hey, I'm riding a hot streak. I'm not leaving the table.
Are you doing a parlay?
Yeah, you bet your ass, man. If you win one, you do another one. I'm doing another 14 parlay on the divisional round games this weekend.
Okay.
We'll see if I can keep it going.
All right.
I'll probably get to lose 3 of the 4, but what the hell?
That's what gambling is about.
You're up, you're down. You just got to win. As Kevin Todd always told us, you just got to win 51% of the time.
Yeah. Today, I'm laying the big wood. That's what I'm doing. A lot to get to, and I want to start with this. I want to go to college football real
quick.
We'll get back to the NFL.
Yeah.
Ken Niumatalolo is a name that was brought up for Arizona's head coaching vacancy. Still haven't made an announcement, by the way, on who they want to hire. Some people thought that was someone's job, and now people aren't as sure. The players are pushing for their DC, I think his name is Kevin Yates, to get the head coaching gig, and some believe he's kind of a favorite.
Marcel Yates.
Some believe he is kind of the favorite right now. Mm-hmm. So we don't know where they're going to go. But when Ken Niumatalolo's name came up, the Navy coach, the starting quarterback for Arizona, turns out not a fan. He tweeted, I ain't come here to run no triple option. So I don't know if Niumatalolo is going to run that offense his whole life if he goes somewhere other than Navy. But when your starting quarterback is publicly giving you displeasure, you're not off to a good start in coaching rumor stuff.
I also enjoy that he misspelled triple in his
tweet. Yeah, he spelled triple with two P's.
So that Arizona education really kicking in for Khalil Tate. This depends on how much you want him. If this is the long-term answer and you feel like he can be your head coach for 10 or 15 years, I don't think you panic about what Khalil Tate tweets. You know, there's a chance he comes in. If he gets hired, you can sit down with him. Maybe Khalil Tate changes his mind. Maybe, you know, he's willing to change his offense around Tate, not have it just be a triple option. But if you feel firmly he's your guy, you don't stay beholden to a college player. This isn't the NFL. Khalil Tate can be gone in 2 or 3 years, and that's it. Your program's still going to be there. You're still going to need to be winning games, and he's going to be gone to the next level. So you don't want to overreact to just simply one player. That being said, the Kevin Sumlin stuff is pretty surprising to me. You know, the reports I was reading that he wants too much money for his assistant coaches, and that's what's holding up the deal at this point. It feels like it's just too good of a fit. I don't know why you wouldn't be willing to budge with a couple $100,000. It's not like he's asking for an astronomical amount of money.
Well, that report actually it's been a little defunct.
Right.
They're saying that it's not about assistant money. They just might not be able to go Kevin Sumlin.
And if that's the case, I don't get it. That's the perfect fit. Marcel Yates, the players want him. You always get players fighting for the in-house guy. You saw it at Oregon, saw it at Oregon State. Anytime this happens and a coach gets fired the way it did with Rich Rod, that's the answer the players have. So I'm not saying he can't be the solution, but I just tend to be a fan of an offensive-minded coach, and Kevin Sumlin running an offense with Khalil Tate, a quarterback, terrifies me as a Pac-12 fan.
You have to think about your long-term situation, obviously, when you're picking a head coach. How much does it factor in when a young quarterback that you might have for a couple years doesn't like it?
You don't overreact to it. You don't.
So if they're thinking, we want Niumatalolo,
that's our guy. You interview him,
you
love him.
You don't even
him.
Care what Khalil Tate said.
No.
I'm going to transfer if you bring him in.
No.
Bye-bye?
You don't.
I think you have to say bye-bye. I know he's a special player.
Yeah.
That might sound crazy to some, but your program is bigger than Khalil Tate. He had a seven-game stretch where he was dynamic at the end of the season. And he's got a special year coming up in my mind if he sticks around. But if you interview him and that's the guy you want, you can't be fearful of stuff like that.
And the other thing, too, is when you go a coach that way, if he is not if he's not willing to change the system, you have to expect drastic drop off. Like, you're going to have a lot of wide receivers that are there. You know, if you have 3 and 4 star kids, you have to expect, and you can't be shocked if they decide to go, yeah, I don't want to be here. The triple option's horrible for wide receivers.
Right.
You just have to be a guy that says, I'm a team player, not good chance of the NFL. Right. Calvin Johnson wasn't running it when he was at Georgia Tech. He was gone. They started running it. So Arizona, you know, if that's the way they want to go and they want to go out of the box thinking, then great, go with it. You just got to be prepared to lose players like Khalil Tate, because quite frankly, not a lot of people want to run that system.
Well, I think there are people, you just got to then go find them. That's the toughest part. Like, there's already a difficult thing for coaches when they get hired and they come in and they don't have players that fit their scheme. We've seen that how many times? You know, Rich Rod to Michigan is almost the prime example of it, of the Lloyd Carr era, where it was traditional fullbacks, tight ends, under center, it's just as traditional of an offense as you could get. They went with Rich Rod, and it took him a couple of years because he had to completely revamp the entire roster. You have to go out and recruit completely new players because you got guys playing out of position. You got guys doing something they're uncomfortable with. So you have to be willing to take that short-term hit if you hire a coach like that, because there would be it. That talent doesn't exist on Arizona's roster. Maybe some players can translate, but not all of them will be able to. And I've always said this about the triple option. If it can work at Georgia Tech, it can work at another Power 5 school. I think Paul Johnson is a prime example of that. I don't know how much he won in his first 2 years. I'd have to go look that up.
I'll look it up.
You go look at Georgia Tech year after year after year. They've constantly been in the mix for ACC championships. They've appeared in ACC championships. They've played in a New Year's Six bowl game. They're a relevant program. They're not a pushover, and it's really hard to game plan for them when it's the only time you face it all season. You see this with teams like Navy that, you know, they give Notre Dame trouble because Notre Dame doesn't prepare for it. You maybe put a little package in the summer, but then you wait, and then all of a sudden you got 5 days to get ready to prepare for the triple option. It's not the days of old where everybody ran it. So I think if you bring in a coach and he can recruit players to that system, as we've seen with Paul Johnson at Georgia Tech, there's no reason it couldn't work in the Pac-12.
So his first year taking over after Chan Gailey was 08, 9-4, 11-3, 6-7, 8-5, 7-7, 11. They had a 3-9 year in 15, yeah, but they probably lost all of their talent because they won the Orange Bowl in 14.
Right.
And then 2 years ago, 9-4. This year, they did finish 5-6.
Yeah, so they've had two or three losing seasons in almost
a decade. For the most part, pretty stable program.
You have 11-win seasons, 7-win seasons, 8-win seasons. That's much more stable than Arizona's.
I mean,
been.
If that's Oregon State, I'm saying give me that, right, please.
And that was the reason why his name was floated at Oregon State when that opening came. It was, yeah, what the hell? Run the triple option. What do you got to lose? It's unique, and it's tough for teams to game plan against it. And as he's shown at Georgia Tech, when you get that right group of players to come in and run it efficiently,
you play in an Orange Bowl.
You can play in an Orange Bowl.
Yeah.
Because it's just so tough to stop.
Highest ranking they got in the AP was 8th, yeah, that season in 14. I don't know, man. It doesn't feel like it's going to be Nia Matalolo, but, you know, Bruce Feldman is reporting that it is Marcel Yates. The DC is the leading candidate, and he expects their announcement to be in 48 hours. And it's a game changer. You know, if Marcel Yates is the guy, I'm not even going to try to pretend I know anything about Marcel Yates. Maybe he is a good coach.
I don't know enough
to give you an opinion on him.
Right, he's a coordinator.
Versus if it is Nia Matalolo or Sumlin, I'm going to kind of be convinced in my head that they're going to be a formidable, yeah, opponent in the Pac-12, yeah, and I'm a little worried about him. Maybe Marcel Yates gets him there, but right now, I don't know enough about him to have that opinion.
It's more of an unknown. If they hire Kevin Sumlin, to me, they're the favorite in the Pac-12 South next year. They are. I don't know how you haven't. USC has too many questions with guys are replacing going to the NFL draft. Chip Kelly's coming to UCLA. That's scary long term, but we don't know what his quarterback situation's like. He's replacing guys as well. I know they're young on defense. Utah might be a good team, but I would take Khalil Tate running a Kevin Sumlin offense over anybody in the Pac-12 South on paper.
If Sumlin doesn't get this job and they go with somebody else, I'm kind of convinced he is waiting for much bigger jobs.
Could be. Could
you know, like, hey, I did enough at A&M, and I don't know. You fill in the blank of somebody that might be in a hot seat at a big pro. Clay Helton. I'm waiting for USC.
Sure. Maybe Clay Helton has a terrible year this year, and that job comes open, and they want to go get him.
He could.
And that's we've seen coaches do this. I think it's a smart route to go. And Chip Kelly's the latest example of it, where I'm sure he had offers last year after getting fired from the Niners. There were teams that sniffed around him. He said, no, go work for ESPN for a year. You make a decent chunk of change talking football, which you're good at. And then you can wait, and you have your pick of the litter. So maybe you're right. Maybe Arizona just isn't the job he wanted. Arizona State felt like a good fit. They never even went after him. They just wanted Herm Edwards for whatever reason.
Well, that deal, that was a backdoor deal.
That was strange done. The whole time. But you do question it if you're Arizona and you're not aggressively going after him, and the reports are untrue, that it's not just simply about assistant salary, because that was – it felt like it was a match made in heaven of him in Arizona recruiting the Southeast, recruiting California, recruiting Texas, running an offense like that. In the offense, you already have the players built in. It's the same offense as Rich Rodriguez. There's no overhaul. It's just a new coach coming in and a new guy calling plays. There's no transition there, and it felt like it was too good to be true. I would question Arizona if they're not aggressively going after him.
If you predicted who they pick, who do you think they're going to go with?
At this point, I'd probably say Marcel Yates. I would. Don't think it's the best of the bunch, but...
I don't know how much that fires up Wildcat fan. Maybe it does. I just don't know anything about them. Their defense was okay? Not great.
Not great. The last time I remember watching him play was in the bowl game, and they got shredded by Purdue.
Oregon roasted him
pretty
well.
Hung 50 on him.
Herbert was back. That was Herbert's first game back, right?
And they won by like 24 or 21 or something.
Yeah, we'll see. 48 hours is what Bruce Feldman is saying, so we could go into the weekend and find out on Saturday or Sunday. People used to downplay NFL teams doing this, but it has quickly been the difference between winning and losing. And we'll tell you what it is. Next on 1080 The Fan. You know, there is, you could take this even a year, two, 3 years ago. You will hear sports radio hosts in all different markets. This one, big cities, NFL cities. And something you'll talk about in the offseason. Hey, this team signed this player. Hey, this team's got this player and that player. And usually the consensus reaction and opinion you would get, it would be, well, congratulations, you won the offseason. The offseason winner means nothing.
Doesn't mean anything.
Kevin Clark of The Ringer, who covers the NFL, wrote a really in-depth piece about this. This opinion has to change. And if it doesn't, I'll tell you right now, if you hear this opinion this summer, you're listening to people that are not reading up and following this. This trend has changed the last 2-3 years. I'll admittedly put myself in this category. I brought up the Philadelphia Eagles. I said I liked the Eagles to potentially win their division. I did not think they would have this kind of season, and with Carson Wentz probably be a Super Bowl favorite.
13-3.
But their additions they signed have helped them tremendously. So no longer does the opinion, well, they only win the offseason, that doesn't mean anything. That doesn't hold water anymore. This is a trend that has now been bucked because of the way the salary cap has been set up in the NFL. And you look at a handful of teams in this league, and it's been the difference. The Titans, Patriots, Rams, Vikings, Panthers, and Jags all spent money. Six of the top 10 2017 spenders in free agency all made the postseason.
All of them in the playoffs.
This has now turned into a somewhat diluted, obviously more downtrodden version of what NBA free agency is about. In the NBA, your free agency, you win it. A lot of the times you can actually have a chance to win it.
Yeah, it can swing things immediately for you.
The NFL, this never used to be a big deal at all. People would laugh at the offseason winners. Now, you look at the playoff teams, you look at the way the salary cap is set up, we're not laughing anymore. When you win an offseason, it tends to bold very well, and this has been starting the last 2 years.
It's interesting because you go where the evidence points you. And prior to this run we've been on, the evidence pointed to it not translating. I think the prime example of that for everybody is the Dream Team Eagles. Remember that offseason they had, and they went out and signed like Nnamdi Asamoah, a bunch of other guys, and it was – I can't remember who used the phrase, whether it was Andy Reid or somebody else saying, this is a dream team. We're the most talented squad in the NFL.
Wasn't it Vince Young? Or was it Mike Vick? It was one of those two.
One of the players on the team, I think, said it. Like, this is a dream team. And they fell flat on their face. They spent all that money. It didn't work out. They ended up firing Andy Reid. And that's what led to Chip Kelly going there. And then I think the other example of that, the last handful of years, one of the bigger spenders in free agency has been Miami. The Dolphins have spent a ton of money, that Ndamukong Suh contract they gave him. And it hasn't translated in a playoff appearance yet.
Yeah, it did.
Oh, that's true. They made it last year and they lost to Pittsburgh.
They lost their quarterback this year. That's right.
He got hurt this year. But that was the other one that people would point to and saying, well, it didn't mean a deep run. But now it's starting to change. And Philly's, I think, a good example of they made all those moves in the offseason, and I kind of chuckled at them. They could either build in something, but the hype train moves so fastly for Philadelphia that you almost got to be aware of it. It's, you know, the masses are asses sometimes, and everybody felt like they were jumping on Philly because they were spending in free agency. And I had this mindset of, well, that doesn't mean anything. Just because you won the offseason doesn't mean you're going to win a bunch of games. And I think they're one of the favorites to win the Super Bowl if Carson Wentz doesn't get hurt.
Yeah. The Cleveland Browns president, Joe Banner, said, quote, it's the biggest untold story in football. With the excessive amount of available cap space, close to $1 billion, some teams can't mentally keep up with it. Like, there's so much money for the league that these teams end up flailing out in free agency because they don't know how to handle their salary.
They don't know
cap
how to spend it.
Because it's like, holy crap, now I spend my money, but where do you disperse your money?
Where do you go with it? And the one team I'll keep an eye on that, especially this offseason, is San Francisco.
Yeah.
San Francisco has, I don't know if it's number one, but they have one of the highest amount of it is number one, the most salary cap space in the league. They're going to re-sign Jimmy Garoppolo, and then it's just about replacing other holes that they have on the roster. But if you have that quarterback situation solved, you feel good about your head coach, especially with the way he ended the year. You feel good about the staff in place and John Lynch's ability to find talent and draft. If you're able to go sign two or three swing players in free agency, you won your last five. That immediately changes the outlook for the Niners next year.
Yeah, this is from Clark's piece at theringer.com. I'll tweet this out with the show page at Dirt and Sprague. Before the cap rose, the book on NFL free agency was that it was usually a bad idea. SI wrote just 3 years ago that some big spending teams had learned that shelling out cash to players who are nearing their 30s can end up backfiring in spectacular fashion. That has changed, and quickly. All the room to spend has changed the way teams think about money. Multiple league execs, coaches, and experts told me it is changing the way teams are built at an unprecedented pace and turn free agency from last resort into legitimate team building strategy. Get this. We all know you got to pay quarterbacks, and you brought Jimmy GQ. Mm-hmm. This is Carmen Policy. He's the former CEO of the 49ers in their heyday, like when they were really winning.
Yeah.
He was on 95.7 The Game in San Francisco, and here's what he said on their show.
If I were representing the team, I think what I would do is enter the room, and I would bring a large jar of Vaseline. And I would say to the agent on the other side, I'm a nice guy. I really want to do the right thing. Please be gentle.
That was what he would say if he was negotiating with Jimmy Garoppolo's agent for a new deal. Because you know how valuable these quarterbacks are. And you mentioned the salary cap. They can give him a big contract and still go spend a pretty decent chunk of change and try to round this team out because they have some pieces in different spots.
Mm-hmm.
But you obviously need more talent if you want to be a legit contender. But because of how valuable the quarterback position is, a guy like Carmen Policy, who built multiple Super Bowl winners, says
there's no other option there.
You have no choice. You just kind of got to take what the agent says and go, okay, here you go. Please just produce. Or be gentle is what he said.
Well, there's two options when you have a quarterback situation like that. And it's go the Redskins route where you're franchise tagging year after year and you don't want to commit long term. Or you can go the route of, you know, we've seen Oakland do it. We saw Miami do it. We saw San Francisco do it with Kaepernick where you say, you know what, you produce. We feel like you're the guy for the future and we're going to give you that long term contract extension. I would be shocked if the 49ers ended up franchise tagging Jimmy Garoppolo. That's a situation where you want to lock him up long term. You don't want to build any animosity for the next couple of years. And when you have that question answered, I think it makes you makes it so much easier to go out and solve your other issues because you don't have to worry about that year after year. That's something Washington has dealt with. Long-term contract or tag. Okay, when you tag, there's one chunk of your salary cap. You don't know what that's going to look like next year, the year after that, in year four of that possible deal. If you lock up Jimmy Garoppolo for 6 years, you know what that cap hit's going to be every single year, and it just makes it that much easier for you to go out and make other moves.
Yeah, one GM wanted to stay anonymous. A former GM said he took over a team and he wanted to build up cap space. The problem with the idea was that, unlike in previous eras, eventually everyone had cap space.
Yeah.
So we have long been saying it here on sports radio. You read about it over the past couple years. It's no longer the case, man. When your team spends money, a lot of the time, and this is a great example for this season, you spend money and you can fix your team real quick. You no longer have to just be beholden to the draft and cheap contracts. Cap space flexibility is a lot easier now that the cap has gone up.
Well, and I'm glad one of the a fan texted in of a team because it brought it up. The Green Bay situation. They fired Ted Thompson, who was their general manager for quite some time. And I think one of the knocks on him was always they didn't go out and spend a ton of money in free agency. They weren't willing to go out and they were a draft and develop team. That's the way they went about things, and that was their model, and they never went away from it. And now that you see this blueprint from other organizations, they have to re-sign Aaron Rodgers at some point. You got other rookies you're going to have to re-sign, but you've seen the blueprint other teams have put forth that, yeah, you go make one signing, that can change everything. And Green Bay, as a team that's been close, they've knocked on the door. They had the best quarterback in the National Football League, but they haven't toppled it down. I don't think the new general manager is going to come in with a fresh mindset of free agency.
And now you kind of wonder, too, for teams that didn't make it but might be close. You know, Packer fans are texting in right now. Maybe it is the Packers. Maybe, I forget the name of the guy they just hired for GM, but maybe this offseason, they're right. You already have your quarterback. Does he want a new deal and more money? Yeah, I think he's either up this year or it's going to be next year. They're going to have to give him that fat contract. But you're going to give it to him, and then you still look at other pieces around, and you say, all right, here we go.
Yeah.
Let's spend a little bit of money, and you're right back in the conversation. It's funny. Like, reading this piece, I started thinking, hey, look at that. It's turning into the NBA, where spending money doesn't punish teams.
Right. It translates to more wins.
Unless you're the Blazers. Yeah. Somebody says the Steelers still don't like signing free agents from other teams over 30. Yeah, that might be the case. The Steelers and Patriots, and even the Patriots, they spent money on Stephon Gilmore this offseason, gave him that big contract. You take some of those teams, you know, the Steelers, right? Well, even the Packers would have been in the postseason with a somewhat crappy roster because of Aaron Rodgers.
Well, those teams build their core through the draft. I mean, Pittsburgh landed Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, and Ben Roethlisberger in the draft. None of those guys were super high draft picks. And that's the core of their football team. When you draft like that, it doesn't really matter what you do in free agency. You're going to be good either way.
Yeah. So it's a good piece. I highly recommend if you get a chance, go check it out, ringer.com. I'll tweet it out again with the show page, at Dirt and Sprague. I saw that a couple days ago, and I was like, man, six of the top 10 spenders in 17 ended up making the postseason. What a difference it is in the NFL. We were supposed to talk about the Cleveland Cavaliers. Do you want to talk about them, or do you want to do Le'Veon Bell?
We could do Le'Veon Bell here.
It's your turn.
It's an interesting... The Le'Veon Bell stuff is weird for me in Pittsburgh, and I don't know if people are buying what he's selling right now.
Oh. Not also the time to make those comments, huh? Mm. Playoff game? Mm. Jacksonville? Le'Veon Bell. Is he going to retire? Or are they going to sign him long-term? What's better for Pittsburgh? Talk about that next.
Hey, welcome back in 1:30. At some point, I do want to rant about the Cavaliers. Like, we're doing it again.
The media.
Again. Yeah. This is the second time this season we've done it.
The NBA media gets really bored. I think you can tell that.
I know 82 games, it's a long season, and you want to react to stuff. But for the love of God, just stop it, people. Stop it. So we'll talk about them at some point. Getting some other coaching notes coming up also in the final hour. Somebody got an extension in the SEC today. We know how much money Mike Riley is making now. Interesting number.
Not a number I thought about making either.
And Oregon still trying to fill out the rest of their staff. So we'll get into some of those spray line coming up at 2:30. But you get to the point in the offseason in the NFL where the question becomes who's going to hold out, who wants a new deal, who's not going to play next year. And we go through that every single summer. Aaron Donald, Cam Chancellor. There's a new player. You know, even Le'Veon Bell himself. We've seen this time and time again in the offseason. You don't often see it come up before a divisional round playoff game, but that was the case this week in Pittsburgh. Le'Veon Bell, who still doesn't have that long-term contract extension, he was franchise tag this past season, and he is playing on a $12.1 million franchise tag. If they tag him again next year, that number will jump north of $14 million, about $14.5 million. But on the divisional round week, as they're getting ready for practice, he was talking to reporters about his contract situation, and he said, quote, I hope it doesn't come to that he doesn't get an extension, but I definitely would consider it, saying he would consider not playing or sitting out and retiring if the Pittsburgh Steelers don't come to an extension agreement and they attempt to franchise tag him for the second consecutive year. And he was asked what he wants the Steelers to do. And he said, value me. Get the numbers straight, exactly where we want them. I'm not going to settle for anything. I know what I do. I know what I bring to the table. I'm not going out here getting the ball 400 times if I'm not getting what I feel I'm valued at. This is the offseason. I have no problem with Le'Veon Bell saying it. If this is the July and somebody's interviewing him on a radio show and he's saying this stuff, amen, get your value. You've killed it in your tenure in the NFL, and you're worth every penny. And you know, hopefully you stay healthy long term, and I understand his stance. Why are you saying this stuff a couple of days before a divisional round playoff game?
Yeah, and you know, a lot of people pointed that out. Like, there's a time and place. Even if you're asked the question, I think you say, yeah, we'll talk about that kind of stuff in
it's
the offseason.
It's not contract stuff. Ask me about the Jags. We got the Jags this weekend.
But it also kind of strikes me as a guy that doesn't care at all about the team aspect in that regard. Like, I'm not saying he's not a good teammate to other people, but he's pretty self-aware and obviously thinking about this to the point where he doesn't care about the whole getting ready for a game and whether that's a good time or a bad time. He comes off to me as a guy that's fed up with it, like fed up with not getting what he feels is his. And I think the player that really put him over the edge on this was Devontae Freeman, because Devontae Freeman got paid
in Atlanta. Yeah,
got that Atlanta contract, and people looked around the league and go, was Le'Veon Bell going to get that contract?
Yeah, why is he not getting the extension?
He didn't. He got franchise tag. Now, $12 million still a nice chunk of change.
And they did. I mean, it should be said. I mean, they offered him a long-term contract extension that was worth up to reportedly $30 million in the first 2 years. But it fell through because he didn't feel like it valued his full skill set. And that's the hang-up in this, is that he wants it to take into account his receiving abilities, that he wants that to be tied into the deal, that he's not just being paid as the premier running back in the NFL, but you also have to consider in his mind, that's why he said, value me, value what he can do as a receiver. And get this number blew me away. I mean, it makes sense when you read it, but it really stands out. So he has played 62 career games,
mm-hmm.
and he has amassed 7,996 total yards in 62 career games.
Yep.
That is the most over that number of games span in the history of the National Football League since the 1970 merger, outpacing Eric Dickerson, who held the previous record of 7,842 yards. This year, he carried the ball 321 times for almost 1,300 yards. He caught 85 passes for 655 yards and had 11 total touchdowns. And that's where this is a unique contract situation, is because if he's just simply rushing the ball for 1,300 yards every year, you say, shut up, we gave you the money of a top running back, you take it. But when he's putting up receiving yards of 700, 600, 800 yards every single year, and he's an integral part of the passing game, I understand where he's coming from of wanting it to be valued more.
Well, hopefully you wonder if he's going to hold strong to his word. Like, if he's a kind of guy, and I think he said financially he's okay, him and his family are okay, he doesn't need to play football for money. He plays it because he loves it. Well, all right. Be prepared to live up to your word then. Is it about money or is it about principle here? Now, obviously, it's about money because he wants that deal. But this is almost like, look what I've been doing for you, and this is what you think of me. The franchise tag is one thing. It's another to get that contract. That can just make a guy's day and make you feel so much better about where you sit with a franchise. You take out 2015 because he only played six games.
Yeah.
He's been a top 3-4 rusher every year in the NFL. He's only 25, too. Sometimes people talk about him like he's 30.
He's only 25.
You could give this cat a 4-year deal, a 3-year deal, and pay him pretty lucratively. I don't know if you want to give him Freeman money. Maybe you do. But, man, what he does for your franchise and Big Ben's up and downs that he's had the last couple of years early in the season,
mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, just as a fantasy football guy, He probably single-handedly won my fantasy title for me this year in our Dirt and Sprague thing. I won our league, and it was probably because of Le'Veon Bell. He had games where he was getting 35, 40. And I see production from a guy like that, and I get the running back, and you're nervous and falling off a cliff, and people mention the drug testing and the suspension. What he means to that team, though, it's game-changing.
It really is. Well, and also, I mean, you have to take into consideration where you go the next handful of years with Ben Roethlisberger. He's up there in age. He considered retirement this past offseason. He decided to give it another go. Here they are. They got a chance potentially to win another Super Bowl together. But Ben Roethlisberger, let's not act like he's got five more years left. His clock is ticking, and I expect it to come to an end sooner than later. So if you're bringing a new quarterback in and you want to try and keep this thing going with Antonio Brown, And I think Le'Veon Bell in that offense is the key figure, that you can have a quarterback come in and have success right away because he can throw the ball to Antonio Brown and because he can hand it off to Le'Veon Bell. You know, I don't like the timing of this at all. I never like to question teammates and what their interest is because we're not in that locker room and it's hard to determine where his heart is at and where his mind is at. So I will say I'm not a huge fan of the timing, but he's one of those guys that I do kind of buy into. Like of him saying, if you don't sign me to a long-term contract extension, I'm not going to play next season. There's a lot of guys that you just kind of chuckle and say, I mean, at some point you're going to come back. I did that kind of with Cam Chancellor when he held out, wanted a new deal. He missed the first two games. Felt like it was just a matter of time. I don't get that sense with Le'Veon Bell. He strikes me as the kind of guy that if you don't find the amount of money that he wants, and he already turned down a pretty large contract extension offer. He clearly wants more than that. He backed it up. He went out, gambled on himself on a one-year franchise tag, turned down the deal, had another phenomenal season. He strikes me as a guy that's going to put his money where his mouth is and says, you know what? Not worth it for me. I make $12.5 million next year. I'm good. I'm going to sit out this season.
Yeah, P1 deals is if I was Steelers, I would wait till Big Ben makes his own decision without Ben, see what he does on his own.
Well, the problem is you're not going to get that freedom because Ben, I mean, even if Ben Roethlisberger retires this year, you can't, he's saying he's not going to sign the franchise tag. So
yeah,
if you trust him at his word, he's not going to play next year.
He'll just sit
out. So you won't find out what he is on his own.
The other thing too is he would be losing a year of his career.
He would.
He wouldn't be playing, so there'd be no damage to the body. So maybe that.
Maybe people view that as a positive of long term.
Yeah. But Le'Veon Bell is one of those, you can't argue the numbers and impact he has on your team. You know, I'm not saying without him, they have no chance of contending. I'd never go that far. But he is one of the more special players in this league for what he can do both in the backfield and coming out of the backfield as a receiver. It just feels like that's a team that probably should just say, you know what, you're right. What you meant to us, here's 3 years. You don't have to go four. Maybe you figure out a way to load that contract up to what he likes and to where the number is not ultimately going to live up to what it says. You know, you see this with contracts all the time where $75 million, you're like, whoa. And then you're like, oh, yeah, it's front loaded with signing bonus and first 2 years. And then the rest is just you have to hit this, that. You can be released. And some guys, that ends up happening to them. But I don't know, man, if I'm the Steelers and I look at what they've done the last couple of years, haven't won a Super Bowl, but you go to New England without Le'Veon Bell, that's kind of a terrifying experience. Who's their backup? It's like that Connor
kid,
right?
It's the kid from Pittsburgh, James the kid Connor. Who had lymphoma.
Right, and his season didn't necessarily go how he wanted it to. So you can't just assume everybody's going to be the next Le'Veon Bell. His skill set is very rare, and he's just a guy that I think personally, good for him for standing up for it. Interesting timing with it. Still don't like that, but good for him for standing up for what he believes in. He should be one of the higher paid players at his position.
Yeah, he said, I made a lot of money. I'm happy where I'm at. I've got a good family. I don't really need to play football. Right now, I'm just playing because I love it. Now, I've done everything but own a Super Bowl. I don't care about the money aspect of it. I just want to be valued where I'm at. If I'm playing this game, I want to set standards for all the other running backs behind me. Todd Gurley, Ezekiel Elliott, Melvin Gordon, guys like that. I'm a guy they can kind of look at. I feel I can do it. I'm in a position where I can do that, and I'm going to do it. Now, he heard the same criticism that we're bringing about why would you say this during a divisional round week and not wait potentially for the offseason or when you're eliminated or when it's all over to have this. He addressed it on Twitter. He tweeted, I believe this was yesterday, I'm trying to win a Super Bowl. I can care less about what happens after this season. My biggest thing I'm focused on is this team I'm on right now, playing for them with my brothers and bringing back a seventh ring. What happens next year is irrelevant to my goals. So he addressed it. He heard the criticism, and he said that's all he's focused on. So we'll see how he plays this week. I'll tell you what, even that game against Jacksonville's defense, I mean, we saw what Ben Roethlisberger did the first time he played Jacksonville's defense. Not having Le'Veon Bell this week, if he was banged up again in the playoffs going against that defense, then I'm right on board with you sniffing around a potential upset and covering the spread and all that. He changes everything, can control the game, you control the line of scrimmage in cold weather.
Ask defensive coordinators what it's like to prepare for Le'Veon Bell and then not get ready for Le'Veon Bell.
He's dynamic, and he's saying he's going to hold out. We'll see if he stays true to it, and we'll see if it distracts Pittsburgh. All sorts of distractions around the Steelers, it feels like, every year in the playoffs, and we'll see if this year they can rise above it for a Super Bowl. Hey, some coaching notes in the college football world coming up. At the top of the hour, how much money is Mike Riley going to make this year? And somebody got an extension today, and I'm wondering if anybody can tell me what his record was this past season. We'll play that fun game. Also, the Cavaliers are fine. Stop it. Next on The Fan.
The pressure's on.
You ask what's the difference in the past, and this is just executing at crunch time.
Who's feeling the heat?
When you win, it's the greatest feeling in the world, and when you lose, it's the lowest feeling in the world.
It's crunch time. A look at the hottest topic in sports. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Always $9.95 per month. So why would you ever pay more for a gym membership?
Hey, Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness, always $9.95 a month, so why would you ever pay more for a gym membership? You can find out more about where Sprague and I work out at crunch.com. Well, it's time
to... No days off!
That's right, no days off. We can't all go to Sun River on the weekend. Some of us grind. We're doing it again, Sprague. It's time. It's that time of year.
Oh, what time is it?
It is the time of year.
LeVar Ball time?
Surprisingly, this is the second time it's happened this year.
Oh, okay.
Where we question the Cleveland Cavaliers and can they win in the NBA. Now, just for some context into this, if I say that to you and you're not following the NBA, you might think, wow, Dirt, I bet the Cavs really suck to have this conversation, right? They're 26-15.
Yeah, they've lost a couple games.
They're 2.5 games out of the 2 seed in the Eastern Conference. Toronto's playing well.
Toronto just spanked them.
They did. They are 3-7 in their last 10.
Oh.
So the last 10 are not pretty. That's so
below 500.
Let's ring the alarm. The Cleveland Cavaliers are done. Stick a fork in them. It's that time of year, and this is now, I say, the 8th consecutive year we've done this with the LeBron James team at some point during the regular season saying they're done. They don't have a chance.
Why do we do this?
I don't know. I've been asking this question for 8 years now.
My only answer to that question is boredom. It's
there's nothing else
boredom
to talk about.
But here's my problem. There's a lot to talk about. If you said right now, Brandon Sprague, you've lost your radio show, but we've gotten you a job. You're covering the National Basketball Association, and I'm free to report and talk
whatever
about whatever
you want in the NBA.
There's a ton of things to talk about. Now, I know the listeners right now that just love football and aren't the biggest basketball fans. You'd probably laugh in your car. It's Golden State, Cleveland, who cares? That's fine. For the ones out there that follow it, there is a lot more to talk about in the National Basketball Association than LeBron James and the Cavs struggling in games in the regular season.
That are meaningless in January.
That are meaningless.
Meaningless, I mean, January games.
When you hear LeBron talk about it, he openly admits... I mean, I think yesterday he said Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. Great. What, you still get to the finals.
Yeah.
Like you're still getting to the doorstep of owning another trophy. Now you're not going to get through the door because the Golden State Warriors are the best team maybe the league has ever seen be assembled. But this whole notion that we have to use 3 hours of programming and write all these pieces about LeBron and what's wrong and Kevin Love and just shut up. Shut up.
Have we ever done this? The trade deadline's
less than a month away.
Right.
And we're sitting here talking about...
like they're done.
What's wrong with LeBron?
What's going on
with the Cavs? What's the real story?
He's having one of the best years of his career, which is crazy at his age and all the mileage on it. Have we ever done this with the team? New England gets this from time to time, but they don't get it every year.
They got it a couple years ago in Kansas City.
There's two examples. They got it a couple of years back. You're right. They got blown out on Monday Night Football, and we all said, Brady, Belichick, they're done. And then even this year, I went down that road, guilty of it with New England, with the way they were playing defensively at the start of the year. It's like, how do they turn this around? There's no way. Their defense is terrible. We went down that same rabbit hole. Look at that. They're the one seed in the AFC playoffs. Outside of that, there's not many teams that I can think of in history, and I know it's been two now with LeBron because we did it with them in Miami, and we're doing it with them the same situation in Cleveland. Maybe it's just a LeBron James thing, and we feel like he can't keep this up year in and year out. But every single year, you could go back and just look at the archives of NBA stories of them going through a rut, LeBron James doing something weird on Instagram or Twitter, them having an all-team meeting, or he yells at the guys on the bench like he did last night. If you didn't see it last night, they're playing Toronto, they got smoked. He took over a huddle and was yelling at guys and ticked off about the way they were playing. And every single year when that happens, we rush to this, they're done, they're not going to make it. Like even I heard Golic this morning, Golic and Wingo, saying, is this the year it doesn't happen? They're not good defensively. They can't do it all. We've done this for 7 consecutive seasons, and every single year he ends up in the NBA Finals.
The only good part about it is at some point all these people are going to be right because LeBron James just can't
at
do this
some,
for
yeah, maybe that's it. You're just
20
waiting.
Straight years,
yeah,
right?
At some point you're just waiting for the year you're going to get it right. It's like predicting the Bills and Niners go to the Super Bowl every year. Hopefully at some point it happens. There is a chance.
They tried to do this season with Golden State early on. Golden State came out of the gate and they struggled a little bit and they lost a couple games that left you scratching your head. But they didn't do it to the extent they do this with LeBron James-led teams because primarily I think they know how idiotic it is. And even with LeBron teams, they should know that it's idiotic. But with Golden State, it goes up another level. Like, oh, that's right. They still have Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, Draymond Green. Yeah, we can't go very far with this. With Cleveland, it feels like with Cleveland for some, it's LeBron right now and nobody else. All due respect to Kevin Love, he's a fine NBA player.
Yes.
But this whole, he was the best power forward in the NBA, has easily been proven that that was incorrect. He's a good player, not a great player. So people mainly view Cleveland as LeBron and bust.
I'm just looking at their team page.
Yeah.
The only statistical category he does not lead them in is rebounds. That's Kevin Love. Kevin Love is averaging more rebounds than LeBron. And it's not by much. It's only 1.6 more per game.
This, to me, is his best year of his career. Like I watched this guy, and I'm as big a LeBron fan as you'll find out there. I'm Nick Wright-level LeBron fan. I just don't talk about it like he does. I've never enjoyed watching him more than I have this year, based on what he's doing. He is turning his game around because he understands father time is coming for him, and he's not going to be able to jump through the gym and dunk on everybody. Three-point percentage, up. Assist numbers, up. Everything you need from a older-ish veteran player in this NBA nowadays, he's improving and getting better in. Why? Because he knows this isn't going to last forever. He knows it might be just this season left. Mm-hmm. And then Boston comes calling next year with their young nucleus.
Yeah, they get Gordon Hayward back next season.
And that wouldn't shock me whatsoever. That's right. An incredible roster range put together. But man, is he fun. Because this is an MVP level season, and I get they've struggled, but come on. I don't need to wake up and hear about the end of LeBron's run. Like, shut up.
The other part of this, too, that cracks me up, this story is, are we forgetting? I know gambling on Derrick Rose is not a good thing. He's only played in 7 games this year, but at some point they're expecting him to be back. And then the other aspect of it, Isaiah Thomas has only played in 4 games this year. That was what they got back for Kyrie. They traded Kyrie Irving for, I know they got Crowder back in the deal as well, but they made that trade to get Isaiah Thomas, who's a dynamic scorer. He had a great year last year, and he's coming off the surgery. He's only played in 4 games. Don't we want to give him a couple of weeks to see how he moves into the offense and how he works alongside LeBron and what kind of numbers he can put up when he gets his feet back underneath him? Like, he's still playing preseason basketball. He's only started 3 games so far, and he's on a minutes restriction. Yeah. So, yeah, they're struggling. Don't we want to see him at full strength before we pronounce him dead? Like, maybe if Isaiah had been playing this entire time and they were getting smoked like this, then maybe you want to go down that road. But the fact that he's only playing 20 minutes a game since coming back, because that's the cap that they're putting on him. How about we see him get to close to 30 minutes a game and then we judge Cleveland?
Yeah, Steve Kerr talked about this one time about the Bulls teams and how he said the second year after their 96 season, when they had 72-10, their second season was a grind, right? You just won 72 games. You won the championship. It was a grind. They got through it, and they beat the Jazz. That third and final one, even Steve Kerr's talked about. Like, he's kind of convinced, when you listen to the way he talks about it, that if they have to go to 7 games, he doesn't think they beat the Jazz. Mm. He thinks Utah wins game 7
this
in
what
Utah.
Does the fatigue build up?
Scottie's back was, I mean, he couldn't move. He right. somehow got through game 6. Jordan was older and not quite as Jordan-ish as he once was. Just the way that franchise was set up in game 6 going into potential 7, it didn't feel right. But he even talks about the lulls of a season where you win, you win, you win, you win. Eventually, like, winning gets boring. And every night is you're not as up as you were the previous. I think that happens to all the great teams and all the great players. LeBron's still putting up dumb numbers, producing at a high rate every single night. But from time to time, his team has breakdowns. Yeah. They don't communicate well. They have defensive breakdowns. This is what the NBA is. And quite frankly, for all the revisionist history people, this is what the NBA has always been. You just have nights and times where you go through it. And for LeBron and the Cavs, that's what it is. But I get it. It's LeBron clicks, talks, all that stuff that you need in the media industry. You get it with LeBron. It's boring to talk about the Spurs and LaMarcus Aldridge with Greg Popovich. It's boring where people get annoyed of LaVar Ball, Luke Walton, how Luke Walton might be getting fired now. Mm-hmm. That's a little more clickbaity, but still, there's a lot of other things you could be addressing in the NBA, but it's LeBron James, so yeah. Why not?
So they've lost 3, or they've lost 7 out of 10, and the Cavs are done. Stick a fork in them. They're not going to do anything. Oh, wait. No, this is the 8th year we've done this. They're going to be just fine. So stop sounding the alarm, folks. Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Always $9.95 a month. Why would you ever pay more for a gym membership? You can find out more about where Sprague and I work out at crunch.com. Lots to get to in the final hour of our show. I'll give you some final thoughts on the divisional round matchups in the playoffs this weekend. We got a Sprague the Line coming up bottom of the hour, so get your fake sponsors in at 55305. We'll read them, give you our gambling picks for the weekend. We might get into that LaVar Ball, Luke Walton situation because there's a whole new offshoot of it, and it's not looking good for that organization. But I do want to start with some coaching notes in college football because we know how much money Mike Riley is making, and it might surprise you. We'll tell you what that is. Oregon's still looking for some final staff members, and an SEC coach got an extension today, and I'm wondering if anybody can tell me what his team's record was last year. Loaded final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.